Hi everybody, it's Michelle. This is part two of our three-part Influence as Story retreat. So happy to see you back here, whether you're here live and I can see you, here live and I can't see you, you're listening to the recording. So happy to see you here. I know that we've been doing outstanding work. That's because of everything you guys have been bringing to the table. I've done a lot of work on influence, and for me, this is the best work on influence that I've seen anywhere. What you guys are bringing to the table energetically and profoundly and beautifully and on the court, this is, of all the research that I've done on influence, this is my favorite place. It's you guys playing full out, really naming it at such a beautiful and nuanced level, what it is, why it matters, how we start to integrate it into our lives. So thank you. Thank you for this. Let's hear from a couple of you. Let me see. No, actually, just before we do that, I just want to remind you of what our intention is for this block. So first, I want to hear from some of you, some ahas from the first block, to make that link from the first block. We'll return to that. What are the characteristics of influential people? We started outlining that. Marnie we just went for it. So we did a deep dive, but I want to hear some more and flesh that out. Then we'll move to the material for this block, which is some resources on influence that I want to give you. It takes time even to find out where you enter into the discussion around influence. So I've done this work for you. I haven't mastered all of these resources. I'm learning and investigating too, but I want to turn you toward those, and there might be a place where you want to start in that. Where you would like to have influence, and that's both what your vision is and where are the specific places where you want to create influence, how to create influence, recognizing it as a learnable skill, becoming conscious of it in your life where you are already influential. Again, bouncing off of something Marnie had said earlier, is like, oh, wait, we already have that. And then transferring that that excellence. And sometimes our influence comes, like Mary Kay said, just in an aha, you know, it's like, oh, wait, I released that story already. I've changed my level of influence from the strategy session yesterday. It's like, I know how that's working. I already have shifted my 2021. So thank you for starting us off beautifully in that way, Mary Kay. So let's hear a couple of ahas. Everything that you've said, I've just so appreciated. Yvonne is like, oh, just having people tap into the biggest of who they are, their best self. Everything that's been said here is something that has moved the needle. You guys have been participating full out. Again, thank you. So let's start then with a couple of ahas. You've had some time to think about it, digest it. What's opening for you from this morning for you in your company, your world? Yeah, Yvonne. So, Mary Kay, did you raise your hand just as I was looking down? Mary Kay next. Okay, Yvonne.
When I was looking at the list of the characteristics of being an influencer, it really hit me between the eyeballs that it takes courage to be an influencer. Mm.
Thank you. Love that. Bouncing off of Marnie says that they'll take risks, you know? And then why would we do that? Someone's saying, well, entrepreneurs are risk takers. Well, why? Because they have that vision. If they don't, let's go find it. If we don't, let's go find it, right? Courage to say what I'm going to say. Courage because other people maybe are going to have a different opinion. Courage because I'm actually showing my true self and being vulnerable in front of people. But what I actually believe, I have a dream. I have a vision that something could be different than the way that it is right now. And I take a stand, I put my stake in the ground, and I let myself be visible for this. Courage. Thank you, Yvonne. Yes, beautiful. And also courage. I don't sit and wait for the courage. I just want to add this piece too. Where does courage come from? It comes from out there doing it. I don't wait for the courage to do it. I don't wait for the confidence to do it. The courage comes from the action. I take the action, and from that grows the courage. From that grows the confidence. We sometimes have it backwards because then otherwise we'll, you know, wait for 3 years until we have the courage, right? And that again, connected with that vision. If it's big enough, we'll get past that. Oh, wow, this is big enough. This is bigger than me. I'll get past that and find the courage. And I find it through taking the action because it matters enough. Beautiful. Thank you. Mary Kay.
Influence goes back and forth. And then I was also wondering It seems like influence is everywhere. All right.
I love that, you know, and influence goes back and forth. Are you saying that, you know, we influence each other in interactions? Yes. Yeah, so it's, another one of those subtle points that's so beautiful that helps me understand influence at a more nuanced level. It's not just, okay, there's those influencers out there. Sometimes we think of it that way. Somebody other than me who's doing that. And then I strive to be that. And that's like the whole thing is wacky. Influence is integrated throughout our world. I love how that's connected with what you said. Influence is everywhere. And one of the resources that I want to tell you about, although you probably won't be as crazy as I am to go and purchase it because it's about $200 for, and it's a scholastic academic text, like for, you know, it's not probably not on the court for most of you, not like I wouldn't recommend it as your first action, but let me do the heavy lifting for that. I'll go find out what's the most actionable and bring it to you. How would that be, right? But it's kind of like a comprehensive, thank you for that thumbs up, Yvonne, but it's kind of comprehensive tome, you know, study of influence, right? And I'll give you the name of it so you can, like I'll give you a list in the chat in a bit so you don't have to grab all these titles. But it's a book by Robert H. Gass and John H. Sitter. It's called Persuasion, Social Influence and Compliance Gaining. You can hear their angle with compliance gaining, you know, but social influence, but they're the ones that have done the studies of like what works, what doesn't, what is influence anyway. These are the social scientists and psychologists and so on who've massively gathered all of what it is, you know, all of what it is and has been, you know, again, too much for us as entrepreneurs mostly, but that's what I'm going to be diving into too. And I'll be giving you bits and pieces of throughout the year as well. It's not once and done. All right. The reason that I mentioned that in context after Mary Kay said influence is everywhere, I want to tell you that this massive tome about influence, which I was reading past midnight last night, starts out exactly with Mary Kay's point. And we already know stuff about influence. That whole big study starts out with the point that influence is everywhere. And where they start is like one of the authors was sitting on the beach and just thinking he was just sitting on a beach relaxing, minding his own business and everything was calm and peaceful. Then he started to notice all the play of influence everywhere around him. It is their founding point in that book. It's where they begin, that influence is everywhere and it's not just one way. So thank you so much for that, Mary Kay. So he says, then he noticed, and I can't remember all the examples, but his kid going, hey, will you come into the water? It's not that cold, but he knows his kid, it's always cold. No, he says that anyway. And then his wife says something. And then he notices that the people across the way are wearing these Adidas caps or something like, so there's that banner advertising something. And then a flight goes by that's advertising something else. And then he's noticing the truck with the big banner on it. And it's like, and then the people beside him say, hey, would you just watch our stuff for a minute? Because we're going to go away. Like all these people influencing and attempting to influence, like it's pervasive. And so that, I like how Mary Kay said it better than what I'm bringing to you right now. That's where they start, because that can actually feel a little bit overwhelming, right? That can feel like, oh my goodness. And you can hear from their title, their take on it. Persuasion, social influence and compliance gaining. They're a little bit like Robert Cialdini, another, you know, and he contributes to that volume. And I talk about him as, you know, a beginning place, and what we do in practical applications is something different. There's a lot of people out there in the persuasion field goes like, oh, we're all bombarded and there's these bad people trying to influence us. And how do we shield ourselves from it? I don't think that's a great starting point from us, but I still can go over there and learn some things about it and then bring them to you, but not filtered through that. Oh my God, we got to be worried. Oh, there's all these people out there, bad people trying to influence us. How can we shield ourselves from that? So I would, you know, I'll learn some things. I'll bring them to you. But the main point that Mary Kay said so eloquently is well taken. When we look around, we live in a world of all kinds of every, you know, it's back and forth, and influence is everywhere. And what would it be then to take a stand and say, to be an influencer is my birthright. To be an influencer, it's okay to be an influencer, and that I have something profound, a vision to share that changes the face of the world. It's not influence for influence sake, like Dr. David Wolf said, but it's influence to make a difference on this planet with that thing that we do, with that thing that we know. Martin Luther King Jr., again, I have a dream, one of the most studied speeches on the planet. It's like, I have a vision. And then like Marnie said earlier too, but that people also can take action, that they take action on it, that it actually does real stuff. So Mary Kay, thank you for that. It's a subtle point about influence. We hadn't got there yet explicitly, and you named it. You guys, you again, I want to emphasize, we know a lot collectively about influence. Let's see what we know. Let's put it into its different pieces. You know, what is it? Why does it matter? What are the characteristics of influential people? Then how do I do it in my world, right? Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful, brilliant. Let's hear one other aha. What else bubbled up for you over the break about influence, your relationship to it, what the characteristics are, what you think about influence that you hadn't thought about before, or just you knew it before, but it's re-energized in you because we're in the discussion of influence, a story here. Let's hear one more.
One of the things that struck me was the need to check your editor. So that whole concept of what Mary Kay talked about, that story we're telling ourselves, and which I so aptly demonstrated, which is
thank you, Mary.
Stories that are swimming around in your head and you're not even conscious of them, and the impact that they have.
And that's why I really love this. Thank you, Marnie. Yes, beautiful. I love the subtitle that just rose up in me right now and that I wanted to share with you. Influences story, how to increase your influence massively in 2021. And that can happen from one shift in one story. We've built all this stuff. Remember, we talked about that in the morning, you know, in the first blog, built all this stuff. And then we think, oh, that doesn't work. And we get discouraged or whatever. Because no, it's not that it doesn't work. It's that I got some story in the way that's blocking my influence. And this is brilliant and beautiful. Not to diss all that stuff that we've built. It's brilliant. Finding those stories that are blocking it, releasing that, and then what can be possible for us. Already done the heavy lifting, you've done so much. Release that and step into the influence that is, as Yvonne underlined, that is your birthright. Okay, really good. Anything else bubbling up about influence? What it is, why it matters, the characteristics of influential people. Okay. Marie, was that a hand, or was that just a thoughtful? Okay, it's just a thoughtful. Okay, thoughtful look. All right. Just want to make a decision. Yeah, I'd like to hear one or two, before I share something with you about what some others have said about the characteristics of influential people. I know that we know already here. And I think when it emerges from us, it's so much more powerful than a list. I'll share that with you because you'll see already, we've already sussed out a lot of those, but it'll organize that knowledge for us a little bit. But I want to suss out a few more characteristics. I love what Marty said just before the break about, you know, they'll take a risk and that, you know, it's like the sense of the energy that I got from Marty is like a really putting the stake in the ground and that this matters. So. Characteristics of influential people, when you've been influential, somebody that you think of as influential, what you just know because of being a human on the planet, you know, wait, I know about that, you know, what are the characteristics of influencers, of influential people? What are they like? How do they be? How do they move in the world? You tell me.
I think they're really great thinkers who do lots of research and learn about anything and everything that they can.
Big thinkers, and they learn. And you've reminded me of what I learned from Harv Eker. You know, I studied with Peak Potentials for many years, and many, I mean, I did 25 deep dive courses over 3 years, lots of them a week long. I had to travel to them. I'm like, deep dive. If I do something, like, I'm going to do it, you know? And one of the things he said from stage once that I'll never forget, he said, of all of the stuff that we've taught you, if you just remember this one thing, this is the most important thing. And everybody's there in the audience going, get what? He's like, learn, do, learn, do, learn, do, learn, do, learn, do. Both hugely important. Learn. I don't have time to make all the mistakes myself, right? Don't reinvent the wheel. That's why I love that researcher part of me. It's like, I want to know what other people are doing out there. I want to build on what they've done, not have to reinvent something that somebody discovered in the 40s. And I can learn from that, right? Learn and then do. If I just learn, again, that's what I did, the dark side of the academy that I came from. Sometimes it's just learning and it never gets onto the court. Harv Eker says, learn, do, beyond the court, actually doing, actually making this happen in the real world. Big thinkers. Yes, thank you, Marnie, for all those. Yes, yes, yes. Let's hear one or two more from you, what you know. And also, if you say it, it'll go a lot deeper than just reading in a book. It's like not just the book knowledge, but like, what is it for you? One or two more, who would like to share? No wrong answers here. Trust yourself. Yvonne, thank you.
They're out of the box thinkers.
I love that. I know I keep going back to that, but I have a dream. I have a dream different than how other people were thinking at that time. Or if you think Nelson Mandela, right? Teresa de Grospa talks about him as well. Outside the box thinkers, apartheid can end. Apartheid is wrong. Apartheid isn't the way that we ought to be living in our world. And thinking about what Marnie said too about the risk takers. I mean, Nelson Mandela, before we thought of it, you know, he became like world leader, was in prison for 25 years for what he believed in, stood for it, right? And outside the box thinkers, or if you think Gandhi, you know, that freedom is possible, that India does not have to be in the colonial relationship that is just the norm, that everybody knows is true, that has to happen, that that's the way it is. So many other things that Gandhi did, right? But not what other people were thinking. Their own particular genius and vision about what the world could be in the area that they're interested in, and just putting the stake in the ground, standing for it. Yes, thank you, love it. Let's hear one more. Thank you, Dottie.
I had a neighbor when I was 29 years old, and she is a loving, kind person. And she turned out to be the first woman judge in the whole state of Virginia. And she moved up and up and up to now she's an appellate court judge. And what I wrote about Joanna is that she is one of the kindest, caring people that I've ever known. And she cared more about you than ever. I didn't even know she was close to being picked as a judge. She didn't even work that hard. She was home all the time. She hardly worked. But she was so loved by the other attorneys that she was picked.
That center of love that we talked about before, right? John C. Maxwell talks about that. It's got to start with love. Yvonne pointed us to that, heart-centered, right? And I love that you talked about your neighbor. Karen's book, The Tao of Influence, starts with a story about her parents' neighbor, her dad's neighbor. And when her dad died, she got a letter from the neighbor, said, "I didn't know your father, but he influenced me. The way that he worked in the yard, the way that he, you know, made that birdhouse, the way he cared for his family. I hope that the man who comes into my life will be like him." So this quiet influence and the influence that emanates from service and from love. I love it. It's like for her, it was a story about her neighbor as well. So looking around us, who have we, and this is a great exercise. I suggest that you all do this. Here's an inspired action after our retreat. Who have you, Dottie, beautiful story, right? So like what Dottie has shared here, who has influenced you? Who have you found influential in your life and why? What were they like? Because that's your particular definition of influence too. And for Dottie, at the heart of that is love, right? At the heart of that is loving, kind, caring for people. So what is it for you? Investigate those people. That's what's been real for you. That's what will light top us inside you. You know, there's many characteristics of influencers, but what are the ones that bubble up to the top for you? So thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. All right. Anything else bursting to be shared? Yeah. Mary Kay and Mary. Wow. That was quick. Mary Kay and Marie. Mary Kay, first go.
Well, I wondered if this is from what you say about
about inner work, and is that a characteristic of influential people?
I love that. Well, and do you think that that needs to be asked as a question? I mean, I love it because there's the, you know, humbleness of your asking, but I think that you're asking this question, but you already know, don't you? Right. Yes. So rather than me stating it, you can state it, Mary Kay. Why don't you just say it?
A characteristic of influential people, one characteristic is inner work.
They've done the inner work. It's one of the huge things that I found too. The more I interact with more and more successful entrepreneurs, and I'm not interacting with the type that, you know, power over whatever. I'm not saying that doesn't exist in the world. It's just not in my, it's not the people I hang out with, right? So, and the more and more I'm around really successful entrepreneurs, that's what I find the entrepreneurial journey to be. It's the best professional development we could ever, ever, ever do, because things that we can get away with when we're just starting out, I can maybe be nasty. I can maybe push on people. I can maybe, you know, and get away with because I can find the one person that I work with or whatever it is, you know, like the more and more it grows, and I'm finding this in my own company as well, there just isn't place for that, for those old stories, because the company just can't grow when those old stories are still running the show for me. I don't have the bandwidth to create the team behind me, to actually serve at that level, to believe in myself enough. It is the best personal development in the world. And the entrepreneurs who are influencers, the entrepreneurs who are on fire, top us, the entrepreneurs who are doing that work, are, have done and are doing the inner work. And for me, that's why I'm always both a teacher and a student. I will keep being a student always. I want to learn more and more and more, right? So, oh my goodness. Give me 1 second, guys. Thank you for that. I have great food delivered at my place on Tuesdays, and I haven't figured out a way to get it into my house without taking a few seconds out sometime during my day to bring the food in. So thank you for giving me that space. It's like my wrist was buzzing on my Fitbit. Oh, wait, I forgot about that. So they've done the inner work. That's actually a really good example. Did it take me out to do that? Maybe it did a little bit, but it's like, if we haven't done the inner work, if that had happened and I was teaching and training years ago, it would have taken me out for a long time. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, oh no, and editor, and will they understand? But at the next level, I gotta go, like, I'm just tending to that. Now I'm back here with you, and I trust that you'll understand and it'll be okay. And so it's a really beautiful illustration of exactly that. Like, even just at that micro level, that stuff that we carried at an earlier level, we can't take to the next level. Does that make sense? Yeah, thank you. All right, beautiful Mary Kay, I love that, doing the inner work. Marie, characteristics of influential people, of influencers. And you're muted.
Yeah. Oh, is there an echo?
Sometimes there is when I don't have my headphones in. It might be at my end. Are you guys hearing an echo? Okay, let me get my headphones in. I don't know why lately it's doing that, but that's on me. Give me a sec. This should probably fix it.
Okay, oh yeah, that's better.
Okay, thank you. If that ever happens, just let me know. I'll put these in.
There's a phrase that keeps coming to mind from my meditation practice, and it's without objectification. So what Mary Kay just said about doing inner work, it's like doing inner work for the sake of doing the inner work and the growing into love and all of that. It's like, it's not to the outside purpose of, I'm going to do this inner work so I can grow my business, right? Like it's without objectification. And I think, like, there's something about ego in this as well. Like, I'm doing it because I'm so committed to this path of transformation. That's what it's about. And if my business happens to grow as a result, then that's the side effect, not why I'm doing it.
I love that, Marie. Yes. If you look at the way this company, my company, is structured, I start out with some things that I know people want.
but it doesn't end there, right? My signature talk is called Stories That Sell, because I know that's an object of desire. That's something somebody's going to want. But if you come anywhere inside the party, it's going to go so far beyond that. Okay, you want that? It's about our whole lives. You can hear that trajectory here, right? And so that's always how I think about my own business growing too. It's just like, how much inner work have I done? How am I living and being on this planet? And yeah, then as a side effect, the company grows. I'm not doing it to grow the company. And that I would not, at least the way I've constructed my company, I'm not hanging my hat on that at the outset, because I want to meet people where they are or where they might be, right? But if you come anywhere inside the party, to me, I've always felt it that way. Like, we align our lives, we align and do what we're meant to do on the planet. We do what's our birthright. And when we are aligned, the company grows as a side effect. And Marie's point is even deeper than that. It's like what Thich Nhat Hanh says. It's like, I'm not, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize by Martin Luther King Jr. Has done profound peace work on this planet. Had two kids in front of him and asked them why they eat breakfast. One said, I eat breakfast to grow strong, to be healthy, to, you know, do what I'm meant to do in my day. The other one said, I eat breakfast to eat breakfast. And he says, I think the second one is more right. You know, I do it because I do the inner without objectification. I do the inner work for the sake of the inner work. And the other things are spin-off effect, whatever it is, with my business, relationships with people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of my life is that's just a spin-off effect. Is that in the energy of what you're saying here, Marie? Yeah, beautiful. I love it. All right. And you know, there's in John C. Maxwell's book, there's a little anecdote he told about, and it's related to it. Here we're talking about the inner work, and he's talking about one piece of that, integrity. And he tells a story about well-known influencers, and they got to the border, and they had some clothes, and they declared them integrity. And nobody was watching. Then the guy says, like, aren't you that person? I think I know you, you know, but they didn't do it for that. They paid the extra $2,000. And like, you could have just brought that across the border. Why didn't you just do that? It's like, well, because I would sleep better, you know, if I just pay the duty here, you know. What are we doing when people aren't watching? We're doing it because we're doing it. And you know, have I always been aligned in my own life? No. Do I work to have that alignment to do the inner work for the sake of the inner work more and more and more? Yes. And then I know I'm on my path. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, everyone. You guys, amazing, amazing, amazing work. Anything else? Characteristics of influencers that you want to say? Yeah, Yvonne.
It was actually what Marie was saying too. I was thinking about that earlier, about, I think there's something around the whole leaving ego at the door kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this can happen even in our marketing messages and so on. Like Yvonne and I have been participating in this a social media Facebook challenge this week. By an influencer. It's been really interesting to watch her. And one of the things that she said that was really profound was how she named her challenge. She named it 10X Your Following, right? So in this week, 10X Your Following. And then in the very first call, she said, I actually don't even like that very much. It's not really what I'm about. But the way that she, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't a moment of lack of integrity. It could have been, but not the way that she was saying it. What she said was, this is what people are wanting. This is where, how I can meet them where they are. And I'm not going to be so caught up in ego that it has to be the way that I name it at the front, even if that's not what people are wanting. I can leave my ego at the door. And it reminds me, so like different ways to leave that. Thank you, Yvonne. Different ways to leave the ego at the door. I remember being puzzled 10 years ago when I heard that the name Peak Potentials, Harv Eker didn't name his company. He didn't even like the name Peak Potentials, but a lot of influencers around him said, the name that you have, which I don't even remember, doesn't work. And he named it Peak Potentials, leaving ego at the door. It's like, hey, you know, this is what people can hear. I don't need to be the one who is the important whatever. This is what will reach people and help and serve people. So here the difference between, I'm going to say anything anybody wants in order to, and that's not what I mean. That's just manipulation or you know, versus leaving the ego at the door. The message matters. How can I actually reach people? And I have this vision, how can I transmit it so that people's lives are actually changed and that it doesn't, my thing about my idea about how it's supposed to happen or my idea about that I can let it go. So lots of, you know, inner work in that and lots of, you know, leaving the ego at the door, lots of not, hey, I'm going to become an influencer so I can become big so that my company grows because I want to be important. Like, so all that is, that's not what we're doing here. Make sense? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? You guys, fantastic work. And again, where we're focused on is characteristics of influencers.
I think they listen to other people. Mm. So they are confident of their own message, but they aren't looking for yes people. They're looking for people who will challenge them and offer a different way of looking at things.
Yeah. Can you hear the fearlessness in that, in a sense, or even feel afraid, but do it anyway, right? Because I go back to Martin Luther King as a really wonderful touchstone. Is he going to go, oh no, if I hear anything else, I won't believe in my message anymore? Can you imagine the world? No, it's not like that. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. And he could clearly listen to others because he's so sure that this is right and that this is serves and not right. Like, I'm right, you're wrong. That's not power over. It's just that deep, deep conviction and passion about what it is, that then there is there's no defensiveness and pushing. Can you feel it? There's conviction. There's, I'm putting my stake in the ground, but it's not pushing against. It's nothing like that. Okay. Great, great work, you guys. Great, great work. All right. I want to move on to, hang on, just let me write something down here. Okay. I want to move on to the next segments of this this piece, this part two. But before that, I want to share with you just what a couple of influencers have said about characteristic of influencers. And the reason that I want to share this with you, I didn't want to say, hey, go memorize this list and let's now go emulate that. And it's nothing like that. It's that these are just what a couple people have said about the characteristics of influencers. And the thing that I want us to hear here is that this is exactly resonant with everything we've been building here. We might hear a few, ideas that we haven't named yet, but they're resonant with. Just to add to the mix and mostly to, you know, add to the mix of characteristics that we've named, and then also to recognize how much we already know about who we know what an influencer is. We know their characteristics. So Teresa de Grosbois, she says this in the fourth chapter of her book. She says there are 10 habits of influential people. None of these, it's not rocket science. You're not going to be surprised by these. Playing big, one. Two, authenticity. Three, we haven't mentioned this, but it makes sense because all of these will be, make sense when we hear it. It's like Martin Luther King, one to many. They spend time here. Martin Luther King, that's because sure, her book is about mass influence. He's in front of audiences, right? Four, influence is a currency. They use it as a currency of relationship building. So influence, I can help give other people influence. And that provides influence for me. We already talked about this in terms of relationship. I'm interested in relationships and I give it away. That's about that generosity too. And that coming from love, it's all resonant with what we've said. Number five, she says, building powerful relationships with other influencers. We touched on this earlier. Remember we said like the fun thing about it is I get to be on the cutting edge with other people who are making a difference on the planet. None of this is rocket science, right? Just makes sense. Number six, she says, understanding the cycle of reciprocity. It's about reciprocity. I help that person, they help me. But actually, I think we've even transcended that. Reciprocity, they'll give to me, I'll give to them, and that helps me increase my influence. That I think from, you know, the surface level of that at least is only at the level of what Karen McGregor talks at the win-win stage. Like, I'll give you this, you give me this, right? But we know that can be part of it, you know? There's more than that, and I'm going to give back, et cetera, right? Number seven, she says, connecting the connectors. Influential people consistently do that. Remember, we said it's about relationships. There are, Malcolm Gladwell talks about different, you know, ideas that catch on, and they catch on because of certain kinds of people. One of those kinds of people that help is connectors. Like Yvonne, for instance, is a connector, you know, right? Yvonne just knows a lot of people and puts people in touch with people, for example, right? Some other connectors here, but, you know, Yvonne to me, quintessential connector, right? And so connecting the connectors, influential people consistently do that. Well, doesn't that make sense? Oh, here's a person that can help you. Let me put you together with that person. Relationship. I mean, we touched on that. We used different language. We touched on that. Number eight, we did not mention this. Build a hub for other influencers. Being the place that other influencers come to. That's an idea we didn't touch on. And I'm just giving you other ideas that help us recognize who influencers are. And she's speaking more tactically to grow mass influence. You can hear that. That's a kind of tactical idea of what they do. But that's a great idea, right? She says, number nine, engaging and enrolling others. They can sell the idea of a vision and inspire you to take action. So there, that was that taking action. We got there right at the beginning of the day. And then number 10, take action. And I love this. She says, when they don't know what action to take, they take the action of seeking guidance. And that's nothing different than learn, do, learn, do. So, you know, if I don't know what to do, I'm going to go learn. And then I got to still go do, right? So is any of that a surprise? Does that all make sense from everything we've been building here? There's one, and maybe gives us a few other ideas about influence as well. Dottie, go ahead.
I grew up 5 miles from the White House and lived there my whole life until I moved to California. And I just happened to run into a lot of people of influence. And what I found that we didn't mention is they really loved being with plain people.
Mm.
And one quick example is I was in this club and met this late woman, and we went, there was a dinner event, and I found out her husband was the president's press secretary. She had invited me to her house. And I found that out because I asked what that red phone was for. I had no idea. She was just a woman I met who said, want to come and have tea with me? We're both new. Then we went to the dinner and everybody wanted to meet her husband. But her husband told her, could you please sit with that lady whose husband is the football coach?
Hmm.
Who was me and my husband. And he didn't want to talk to any of those people. He had that all the time. He just wanted, and the same happened. Same, I have so many people that I happen to have met that were the same.
Connecting, and there's something inclusive. I hear the word, I hear connecting, I hear inclusive. I hear also, you know, all embracing. We've talked about that unity, right? And not kind of hierarchical or pushing away. I hear all of that in the story that you told. Thank you for that, Dottie. And, you know, I think about, again, one of my mentors, Sandra Yancey, and her network of 500,000 people. I think about, like, how does that happen? How does that happen? How does that happen? Like, that she's built that with such love and such integrity and such joyfulness. And what you just described, Dottie, I've observed in Sandra for so many years. Because, and it's different from something that I kind of contrast two people. It's like, who do I want to be like, you know? Somebody that I think of quintessentially, it was a don't do this in the academy. That's not all there is in the academy. And then do this with Sandra. This one person, and I've spoken about this at Practical Applications, at a party, an academic gathering, and just like, we'll only talk to that one person just long enough until the more influential person comes around, and they'll leave that person and drop them because that person, they're kind of going their way up the food chain. I'm like, not interested. And to me, that person might gain some power, might gain some status, might, you know, play the game and do well or whatever. That is not how influence happens or what it is in my books. And with Sandra, what I've always been impressed about is that she has arms like this. This is like, yeah, Yvonne, I know you know this deeply, right? She's just like, everyone is valuable. That person that she's talking to is the most important person on the planet. This is deeply, thank you for underlining this, Dottie, deeply the characteristic of an influencer, that there isn't some kind of, you know, I don't want to know what to call it, but like wannabe influencer or wannabe ego driven, whatever over there, that creates that game of moving up the food chain, you know, like, I'm gonna kill me now. I'm like, so not interested. Versus, and you can hear it coming from fear, coming from scarcity, coming from, if I don't grab that person's attention right now and I need something from them that I don't have, it's all out of scarcity. As an influencer, the vision comes first. There's something at stake. There's a difference I can make. And so it's not going to come from ego. It's like, whatever I can do to serve and support, and I don't have something that I have to defend. There isn't ego. There isn't pushing away because it's larger than me. So I'm not so defended. And I think of where I used to teach retreats in Mexico. Marie, Yvonne, you've been there, Marta Hade, the owner of Marta Hade, Laura, she was an influencer and created a profound, profound retreat center and massively has transformed people's lives over decades. And she just connects with everybody and she values everybody and everybody just wants to help and serve and support her. Everybody who's been there has contributed something to the growth of that place because she's interested in everybody. She finds out about them. She's building the building like, oh, you're an architect? What do you think about this? And she's so engaging and so alive. And so her passion of building this beautiful place is so in her. They can't help themselves but help. I helped as an Iyengar teacher. I helped her figure the size of the bolsters and where the hook should go in the wall and it's not there and how she had to fill it. Like, that's what she got from me and many other things, you know? So it's like, And it comes from a real desire and interest in people and not this one person over another person and not like, I need you. And thank you for that, Dottie. Yes, beautiful. All right. So that's Teresa de Grosbois on influencers. And I've got another one for you. Again, this won't come as a surprise. John C. Maxwell, this is from his book, Becoming a Person of Influence. And this is kind of fun. And you could do this as your own exercise. We don't need to think that it's, you know, okay, well, I'm going to be exactly what Teresa de Grosbois says, or I'm going to be exactly what John Maxwell says. We get to create it here ourselves. What matters to you? For Yvonne, maybe the first one right at the top is heart-centeredness, you know, and what matters to you, right? For example. So, but here's what he did. And a great exercise would be to do this. He took the word influencer and made it into an acronym. That would be a great exercise for you. You could do it on a connection call with each other. Make your own acronym out of the word influencer. What are the characteristics that matter most to you? Let it be a game. Let it be playful. You could do that in a 1-hour call and just what we focus on expands. Get on a call with somebody and play with it, have fun with it. What are your words that are the most important for you? L for Yvonne, for instance, might be love, right? You know, loving kindness, something like that. So he says a person of influence has, and here's just his take on it, I, integrity with people. He told that story about paying for the clothes at the border kind of thing, right? N, nurtures other people. There's that love once again. F, faith in people. We hear the opposite about that in this schmoozing story. It's like, I got to go grab that person. Otherwise all scarcity. And, you know, I don't believe that this person will be able to help me. So I got to go grab that. No, faith in people. L, listens to people. We've gone deeply into that. U, understands people. We haven't named it like that, but we got that already, right? Listening to other people's stories. E, enlarges people. Yvonne had that on her survey, you know, right? Marnie, as she talked about it, the very first thing on, you know, like getting people lighting them on their path, enlarges people. N, navigates for other people. I have a dream, right? C, connects with people. Not rocket science. What I want to emphasize here is, don't you know this? We know this, don't we? Collectively, we know these things. E, empowers people. Again, we've deeply got here before. It's not about power over, etc. R, reproduces other influencers. Basically what he's talking about, and he's a leadership teacher. He's like, he trains on leadership. His books have sold millions of copies. He's an influencer. And he's saying, you know, as an influencer, I help other people into their own influence and raise them as leaders as well. So the connection between leadership and influence. Make sense? All right. So jot down just of all that. It's not a list to memorize. It's not something that you need to do. Then I need to know that person's and do it. Just jot down one or two or three characteristics that you love the most, that truly resonate from what we've built, from what you've heard from Teresa de Grosbois, John C. Maxwell. What matters to you? What do you know about being an influencer? Take 1 minute. Jot that down. finishing up that last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it, and I encourage you to come back to it at a later time. If we know what it is, why it matters, and what the characteristics are, then we can do that. Let's do that. Right? It might have been at the top of Marnie's list. I don't know, might or might not have been. It's like they take risks. Oh, Marnie, you've been a risk taker. You've taken all kinds of risks that other people would not dare to even step onto. Right? That might be one of the characteristics that you value. It might be one that, hey, we don't feel like we've embodied yet, but we want to be, right? Okay. So once you're finished that sentence, look up so I know that you're with me, because I just added some resources to the chat. And I just want to talk about that, but I want to know that you're with me before I move over to that. Okay, so one of the things I said that I would do is give you some resources. Now, I don't want to claim whatsoever that I have mastery over these resources. Remember, I'm a trained researcher. It's part of how I think and be in the planet. I can't help myself, right? I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to find out what other people have said and done and find out my own point of distinction and just not reinvent the wheel, right? So this is the state of my knowledge right now. And the thing is, I just want to save you some time and effort. Because if you go Google it, you'll find a bazillion different books and resources out there. I have not nearly mastered these. I've read pieces of different books. Some of them I know a little bit more than others. And I'm not saying go and read all these books, but maybe that you might find one of them that you want to dive into, or you want to ask me a question about or something. And this is not once and done today, all right? But this is on the cutting edge of the research that I'm doing for me and my company that I want to share cutting edge with you, all right? These are some of the resources that I've liked, and I broke them up just a little bit so you can hear what they are. I put Teresa DeGrosbois, this is not necessarily in any order, but I put Teresa and Karen at the top of that list because I like how they talk about not, oh my goodness, there's those influencers out there and we got to defend ourselves against them. Interestingly, they're the women on this list too. I'm not saying it has to be so, but interesting, right? They're like, hey, influence is about inspiring people to the good. And, you know, they're talking like we talk here. And so I find both of their, and they're friends with each other too, that I find both of them speaking in really highly relevant ways about influence as cooperation, influence as serving for the good, and so on. Robert Cialdini, I've mentioned him a number of times. He's very highly influential in the field of influence. And I think he creates influence as a war, but he also has some really good ideas about how it works. So long as we don't buy into his idea about influence as war, we can, I start creating a war myself because I think protect ourselves against that idea. And then I enter into his war language, right? But we can hold our idea about influence that it doesn't have to be a war and then learn some things from him. He's studied, you know, influence for, you know, as a psychologist at a university for many, many, many years, you know, decades, right? Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point, I mentioned him. Some of you may have read this book. You might know it better than I do, but he's one of the ones that talk about there's connectors, there's salespeople, there's mavens, like people who play different roles in the propagation of influence, of how ideas, the tipping point into something that catches fire, right? I've given you some other books too. These are just things I'm interested in. I don't know too much about them yet, but they're on my Kindle. I will know more as I go. I know I've researched them. I know this is solid people who are saying important things. Jonah Berger, Contagious, Why Things Catch On. Influence is like things caught on. Why did that happen, right? And John Maxwell, Becoming a Person of Influence, I quoted him, and really his whole book is about that influence, remember, nurtures other people, faith in people. His whole book is just diving more into those characteristics, and all of them, they're really, Mary Kay was talking about doing the inner work, right? That's a person who's done the inner work, and he's got a whole book that really centers on all the inner the results of that inner work. You know, the person has integrity, the person nurtures other people, the person has faith in people, right? So his whole book on influence centers on that inner, you know, a big part of it centers on that inner game, okay? Inner game. I put them down as historical resources. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, an early book on influence. And some of these, you know, I'd like to, again, I don't have mastery of these, but I know these are some good sources to turn to. Stephen Covey, highly, you know, well-known, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. If we're effective, we're also, he doesn't use the word influence in the title, but they're influencers, they're effective, they're people who, you know, get it done, people listen to, et cetera, right? And then early on, of course, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. How do we have a bigger vision in the world? And even though he's focused on, for those of you who are focused on money and finance and growing financial abundance, great. If any of you have an editor about that, it's like, oh, that's just about riches. The book can be applied to every area of growing so far beyond what we imagine ourselves to be. It's a really wonderful, wonderful resource. One of the things he says, for instance, is the power of the mastermind. We can't get there alone. That itself is a profound insight that he spoke about so early on, that one insight can change the world if we understand the power of the mastermind. He also says, you know, just to name a couple things from Think and Grow Rich, that it's, and because he's focused on financial abundance, right? But he says it's not knowledge that creates wealth. It's organized knowledge that creates wealth. So there's, you could, knowledge, you can go and Google anything. There's everything there that we need to know, but it's not organized for us. We don't know what to make of it, right? So we need to organize our knowledge. So it gives us different takes on influence, like how to systemize it in our business, the self, the inner work take on it, different people who think of it as power over and so on. And then these are the books, I just got them recently. I just started diving into them. The first one, the one by Robert Gass, is the one that I told you is $200 or $300 or whatever. So like maybe it's 160, I can't remember what it was. It's like, it's a textbook for students, right? But this is like social influence and compliance gaining. This is the academic take on everything that's happened in the field of influence over a number of years. For the scholarly minded like me, you might be interested, but it's not going to be tactical. It's not going to be on the court right away. But you know, not in the interest of not reinventing the wheel, very solid. And he tells it through story. It's all about stories, you know. And then this last one, The Signs of Social Influence, or the second one, Signs of Social Influence, that one, that's a bunch of different researchers who have studied a different aspect of persuasion, right? So for instance, here are the 107 ways that that researchers know that people have actually been persuaded. And again, that could take us over, they're kind of academically neutral. They're not on, hey, this is for uplifting others. That what does actually work on the court and what doesn't work to persuade people. This is helpful knowledge for us. And one of the things that, let me see, that they do right at the outset of that book is they say, hey, stop calling persuasion a dirty word too, you know? And that's an important mindset shift. Persuaders are those bad people who do those things. Just know we're always persuading. It's everywhere, right? That was Mary Kay said, you know, it's pervasive. It's everywhere and it's back and forth, right? So instead of it being out there, somebody else does it. It's an integral part always of our world. And so it's fine to learn about this, especially if we link it with some of the, you know, people like what Karen and Teresa de Grosbois are doing. It's like, we are doing it to uplift the world and actually make a difference. Then when we learn about what's on the court that's actually working from these decades of research that these researchers have done, that's helpful. So again, I would not suggest that you just go away and just read all these books, because then we're not on the court, we're not actually doing something. But I just wanted to give you the cutting edge of what I know about so far, about what's in the field. I added Robert Cialdini's Influence, Science and Practice. I haven't even read this yet, but this is his kind of more scientific study that's behind his more popular book about influence. And again, the researcher in me can't help it. I will probably have read all these books by a couple of years from now, but I'm going to dig into them and dive into them for ideas that help us. You're going to be hearing them throughout the year, right? And then Michelle, I just added one last thing, and then I'll hear a question, Dottie, but I just want to add influence and leadership. These are two really related ideas. I mean, think Martin Luther King, clearly a leader. Gandhi, clearly a leader. And these are people that just have a something to say about influence and leadership. So they're the books above, John Maxwell, Teresa de Grosbois, Karen McGregor. It's not the only place you're going to find that connection, but this is just my best thinking and research to date. Let me just save you. This took many, many hours to suss this out of all that stuff that's out there. These are some resources that I, at this stage in my company and my life, have found helpful. Dottie, go ahead.
What was the, who was the author on that you recommend for persuasion?
Well, all of these people talk about influence and persuasion in different ways. So they're all posted there in the chat. And I am not suggesting that you go away and just read about this, because I think for most of us here, use what we've done here and use it on the ground and go do stuff, all right? But for those who want to dive deeper, here's a bunch of different resources. There isn't just one. I mean, there's this tome, this scientific study that I was reading this morning by Robert Gass. But again, you know, or the one by Pratt-Canis. I don't even know how to, Anthony Pratt-Canis. He starts with a history of the study of influence from the 19th century. Like, I geek out on that kind of stuff, you know, like I'm going to learn that stuff, but it's not going to tell you what to do on the court right here, right now. So I don't think it's the most valuable thing for you to do, but I just wanted to give you some resources if you wanted to take it further. And I would probably start with, you know, rather than going over to these academic ones, if you want one that's just about remembering the inner world work, you could go to John Maxwell. If you wanted to go to some things on the court, but that also has that heart-centeredness, you could go to Teresa de Grosbois. I like Karen McGregor's book because she's like about, hey, let's apply the Tao to influence and let's talk about it as, you know, there's again, very inner world-based, right? If you want, hey, I want to know what are the techniques of persuasion out there, then turn to Robert Cialdini. It's not wrong, right? Helpful?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You could, if you are so inclined, to turn to resources like this, and this gives you a starting place. If you just, you know, got, you don't even need to get any of these books. You could go to Amazon and read a couple pages. It might give you some ideas. You know, you've got some time on a Saturday afternoon and you want something that will uplift your mind about things and you know influence matters. Yeah, go over to Amazon and read a couple chapters of these books if you want. You know, it could be at that level. You could meet with a connection, how you could make it be on the court. You could do that, meet with on a connection call with someone and go, okay, I read this chapter in Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, but why does it matter? What does it mean for my company and my life right here, right now on the court? And what's one thing that I could do to make a difference with this? So I wouldn't just go and read this for reading's sake. That's like my academic background. And I geek out on this stuff, you know, I'm going to be learning more, but that's how you can make it tactical on the court and actually making a difference in your real life, your real company, your real world. Helpful?
Michelle, have you ever used the app Blinkist?
Did I what?
Have you ever used the app Blinkist?
I have not, Blinkist, but Blinkist, is that coming? So tell me about it.
So it's an app where they take all the books and they break them down into blinks. So using Gladwell's terminology. And so, for example, they'll take the 10 top things that book is saying and then a real brief explanation of it. And every book is, you can listen to it or read it in less than 15 minutes.
Marnie, so you know what? I'm so glad.
All the seminal work of every topic you can imagine.
I am so glad you said this. Thank you. Will you put that in the chat for everybody?
Okay.
And I want to get that app. I recommend that we all get that app. And in fact, Yvonne, will you do me the favor of texting me and say, go get the app Blinkist, so I'll remember to do it after this call. I think that's fantastic. And actually, Sandra Yancey, in one of the high-level trainings that I was doing with her, recommended that to us, but I missed what it was of how she accessed it. So I'm so glad you came back to that. She recommends that. Now, I want to say two things about that. First, absolutely, I recommend that. So you could go look that up for all these books and get some of their core ideas. That's one thing. And then I want to, and I did read Malcolm Gladwell's Blink years ago. So, you know, like, I thought it must have to do with, I have to do with that for sure. The second thing that I want to say, it's not a cautionary tale about that. I'm all for it. I think that's fantastic. But the second thing that I want to say is just a more like a proviso or a yes and piece. coming from my background in academia, and I'm so a researcher. It's so part of who I am. Sometimes we live in this instant gratification world. Now, sometimes also the world is so fast and there's so much knowledge and we're bombarded by knowledge and like, what are we going to do? You know, so it gives us a way to access something when there's so much out there, right? So I like that about it. And then there's something also old fashioned in me, do you know, like the slow food movement, like, which reminds me, I did not put my food away. I gotta put my food away or it's going to spoil. I'm just going to do that over the break. All right. So the slow food movement, that we could go to McDonald's and buy something and eat instantly. Or sometimes it's actually beneficial. And it takes I remember when I stayed with the nuns when I was, you know, my great aunt was a nun, and I met her friends and I stayed with them for many days, and I learned a ton from them. And they ate a meal, it was in France, and they ate a meal and it took all evening. And first they brought out the carrots and everybody ate carrots. They brought out it was hours long. And I want to say there's value in both. The thing I love about Blinkist is we can have access to it. The proviso I want to add is that sometimes we miss something of the energetic of it if we rush through it. So Teresa de Grosbois, for instance, front loads her chapter 4, where she gives these, you know, 10 characteristics of people, you know, of influencers. But she says, hey, please read the rest of the book, because sometimes there's, you know, problems that we can run into if we just mimic it. And then there's ways to implement it. So how we get to that deeper level of knowledge. So in my own life, I kind of go back and forth between, let me access this quickly, let me read Wikipedia on it. It's the same kind of thing. You know, let me gather some information quickly. And let me have that 4-hour meal and truly digest. So instead of like quickly reading all this stuff and getting nothing out of it, reading 3 pages out of one of these books and meditating on it, do you know? So Marnie, thank you for that. And thank you for that kind of insight in and around how we build on what others have done before us in order to grow our own thing. In this case, for influence, but for whatever it is that we want to learn, and not reinvent the wheel. If we reinvent the wheel as entrepreneurs, we can't get there. Nobody gets there alone. Nobody gets there that I know of without mentorship, because there's just not enough time to make all the mistakes, right? And learn from other people's mistakes. Okay. Let me see. Jot down one. Aha. Your biggest idea, or whatever just comes to you from what we've been doing here so far in the second block. Anything bursting to be said? Something like, oh, wait, that, yeah, Marie, I'm just waiting. I wasn't going to do that, but I could just feel it in the room. So go ahead, Marie.
Well, a while back, you said something about organized knowledge creates wealth. And where that took me was how in creating our high ticket offers, basically we're organizing our knowledge into an understandable format that will attract the people we're meant to attract. So that really landed. And it's
thank
like,
you.
Yeah, anyway, that's enough.
Thank you for that. And that's one of those points about let's not reinvent the wheel. That's from Think and Grow Rich. One idea from one of these books and that huge download. It's like, oh, that's what we're doing when we create the high ticket. And that alone could massively increase our influence over this year. Because it's like, that's what I'm even doing when I create that. When I understand that that's what I'm doing from that one idea from one of these books. Right? So thank you for that, Marie. Thank you. Because I wanted to, like, am I going to give you these resources? Or will that just like take us down a rabbit hole of just to continually read and not get us on the court? But I chose to give them to you. And I'm so glad I did. because that, thank you, Marie, because that one idea, right, that's what I'm doing. And if you think about it, isn't that what this day is doing? That's my intention behind this day. It's organizing knowledge for you and for us around influence so we can actually take action on it, so we can actually use it. You guys could go read all those books if you wanted. You could go Google it and find, you know, you could go take a, you know, a year-long course probably on influence. But what I'm doing is kind of like what Marnie talked about in Blinkist. What if in a day we could assimilate knowledge that's out there, understand it for ourselves, and massively increase our influence in a day, in 6 hours? Wouldn't that be worthwhile? So this is part of what this company is offering. It's organized knowledge in the form of this one day event on influence, for instance, right? Thank you, Marie. Love it. Anything else bubbling up, bursting to be said? Okay, so what I want to go to now is I want to return to that vision. So the next piece, just to remind you where we are, it's influence resources. We finished up characteristics of influential people, influence resources. And then the next piece is where you would like to have influence. What does influence mean for you, right? So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some time and we're going to break out into two Zoom rooms. It's going to be two, yes, two Zoom rooms. You're going to divide the time that you have, and each person is going to get time to say, what is my vision? What is your best articulation? And don't think, but what is it for you right here, right now? We did a little bit of that for Mary Kay, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not scripted. It's not what you'd put out on a website. It's just your inner knowing of what is that thing? If Martin Luther King has a dream, what's your dream? What's your vision? If being an influencer is not only it's okay to be it, but it's your birthright, as Yvonne has reminded us, well, what's your vision? And it doesn't come to us sometimes all at once. And sometimes it does come to us just in a download. For me, my highest level vision is a 10 by 10 by 10 club. 10 million women making at least $10,000 a month, donating at least $10,000 a year to their cause, the cause of their choice. To me, that's huge. That is what I'm put on the planet for. Do I know how to do that? No. Am I building toward that? Yes. Right? Why? What does it do? One of the things it does is it puts $100 billion a month into the hands of influential and powerful women. It's not going to change, does not change the world. And it puts $100 billion a year into the causes that they serve. Now, that's worth getting out of bed for. And this work is part of that. Right? I want every woman on this planet to have access to that 10 by 10 by 10 club. Make at least $10,000 a month. Because then we can all contribute with that thing that we're doing. That's like, that's, and that vision didn't come to me right away. I didn't have that when this company started. But I know that's the highest level vision. What's your vision? Trust inside you. Trust that you already know and say it in just a sentence. You can elaborate in a couple words, in a couple sentences if you choose, but what's your highest level vision? Say it out loud, the best you know right here, right now for your group. And then that's part one. Then the second thing that I want you to do is I want you to name, where is it? What area of my company or my life do I most want to increase and use my influence? Name one, choose one. Let me give you some examples. In your company, it might be branding, it might be marketing, it might be sales, it might be speaking, team, social influence, growth, learning persuasion techniques to, you know, be more influential in my family. I don't know, virality. You might want to learn how things get contagious so that you can, but where exactly do you want to apply that then? Is it like, I want to be out there speaking on stages because I know that's the places, you know, if I could have influence there, if I could have influence on Facebook, like I want to really grow my Facebook following, if I have influence in a sale so people would say yes to me. Like the answer is all those places, but where do you want to start? What feels the most important to you? Just name it. And then why? What's your vision? Number one. Number two, where do you most want to have influence in your company? Let's just do your company right now, right? And then why? so we can start getting this on the court. So I'm going to give you, it's going to be two groups. Let me see. And I'm going to give you 7 minutes, all right? 7 minutes, that's approximately, you're just going to divide it by the number of people in your group. I can't tell if Wendy and Marnie can interact here or not. So we will, because I can't see them right now. Marnie is here, okay, great. So, but just divide up the time. The one with the shortest hair goes first. The one with the longest hair keeps time. Just manage it, make it happen, right? Influencers, take a risk. Influencers, yeah, like we're doing this on the court all the time, right? Influencers have courage and they do it by taking that action, all right? So 7 minutes in all. Let me just divide up the room. And those are your three tasks. And if somebody wants to write those tasks in the chat so you can all see them. I don't think you'll see them when you head over. Will you still see them? Yeah, that would be great. Let me see, assigned to breakout rooms. Perfect, all right. So Yvonne, are you putting that into the chat for me right now? Because it looks like you are.
I am, but the only thing is though, the moment they go in the rooms, they won't
see it. They won't see it. Okay, so forget that action. Let me just remind you here again. What's my vision, number one? Number two, where do I first want to increase my influence? And three, why? 7 minutes, divide the time. There's three in each room. That means about 2 minutes each with a little bit of overlap to spare. Have fun, guys. I will see you in 7 minutes. Begin. Don't forget to say yes to coming, going to your room. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. The others should be here. Here they are. All right, we're getting towards the end of our second block. We have about 10 minutes left and we're going to get to the how. Well, then how do I do this? After the break, we took more time over the characteristics of influential people than I anticipated. Again, first time I've presented, I've taught this material. But I loved, and I didn't want to interrupt that deep, deep dive into, well, who are they? How do they be on the planet, right? And I always leave time and space. There'll be plenty of time for everything that we wanted to accomplish through the day. What I want to do with the remainder of our block is hear from one or two or three of you. What's your vision? Where do you want to become more influential? And why? Why does this matter to you? So that we, you know, again, having it witnessed, speaking it out loud, both in the Zoom room, in your breakout room, and then here matters. It's putting our stake in the ground and saying, this matters to me. It's letting it be public, letting it be witnessed, and letting it be our best articulation that we can come up with so far, right? Good enough. All right. So that we get on the court and do it. So Marie, thank you.
I would like to increase my influence with like using social media. So people who don't know me in some context. So using social media more effectively.
Love it. And why?
Because I'm totally jazzed about the power of writing in an interactive way during a time of pandemic. I want more people to feel less isolated with the process I share.
Oh, thank you. That's where I got those chills. And that's the vision. You didn't mention the vision, but that's the vision, isn't it? Didn't even need to say, hey guys, my vision is, because we just heard it. Y'all heard it, right? Thank you. Marie, say it again. I mean, it was very powerful the first time, but I want you all to be, oh, that's her vision. Go, Marie.
I don't know what I said.
It doesn't have to be, you know, like it's alive and real and it's not some scripted speech.
Okay, so I want more people to experience the power of writing and sharing together during this time of pandemic.
And part of what you said is I don't feel so isolated.
Yeah. The writing together is actually a way of sharing our humanity.
I got chills. I got them the first time you said it. I got the second time even more deeply. That's, now is that a cause worth getting behind? Does that matter? Is it uplifting? Does it fulfill like all those things that we talked about earlier? Right? It's not, and we remember I did the straw version of Little Mary Kay's vision versus the real one. Do you know? And which one is that? Can we clearly see that that's on the side of door number two that we did for Mary Gay? That's a vision that transforms lives, that calls people to action, that's in the here and now as well, that makes a real difference in our real world. Thank you. Beautiful. Who would like to share next? What's your vision? And where would you like to increase your influence and why? Who would like to share next? Yvonne, thank you.
I want to be a philanthropist. I want to be part of your 10 by 10 by 10 club. You heard it here first.
Thank you.
It's something that I've been, you know, that I've wanted for a very long time. Just to give. And I'm realizing more, because you and I have had this discussion before where, you know, you said, you know, get to a point where you can just give money and instead of your time, because your time is worth more. And I'm really starting to see that now. So I'm actually have been stepping away from the actual doing and stepping more into the actual giving.
I love this. Did you hear this? I mean, when Dana was small, I used to go door to door raising money for the Heart Fund because they asked me to do it. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not dissing that. I did it for years. And it was fun to do it with Esme, with Dana's friend Esme and Dana, you know, these two cute little kids. People couldn't help themselves, you know, right? Not dissing that. It's important work too. But having that transformation is like, well, yes, that's helpful. But what's my bigger vision? You know, what if I could just write that check that then they can use to buy the computers that they need, to train the people that they need, to do the research, to actually perform what, you know, the bypasses on people, that's what Heart Fund is doing, to actually educate people about what the causes are and help people eat better, you know? So it's me thinking small. I'm not saying don't do that, but if that's where most of my energies are, what if I could grow the work that I do in the world and from that, you know, from that, give and give generously and give big time. And so then with that underneath, with that fire, with Marie, we heard it directly what her company is doing. With Yvonne, we heard a big why. Now, does it make sense that Yvonne will then put more energy even into her company? She'll find the why for her company as well. But you get it? It's like, I so want to give to these people. I'll do whatever it takes over here because that's what I want to do. And then who's she going to attract in her company too? It's going to be people who are like that. Now that's a fun life. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. Let's hear a couple more before we close this block for it's afternoon. I think even morning and before lunch, right? Whatever time it is where you are. What's your vision? If you're not sure yet, this is a safe place to take a stab at it. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it's this. And then where do you want to increase your influence and why? Who would like to share next?
I'll try.
Thank you. Fantastic.
My vision is that people will find the sources of being able to transform their journey so that they can get out of their own way to do the best in their world.
So Marnie, I love this. Would you say, I think I know what the answer is. Would you say that this is something that you have done and in the process and you are in the process of doing?
Yes.
And I say fantastic. Often we are our own best ideal client. It's a version of us, the previous version of us, maybe even yesterday, you know, right? Earlier today. We're just one step ahead of that person sometimes, or maybe it's a vision of who we were 10 years ago. It means it's something that matters to us. Anybody who spent any time with me, do I ever have any disempowering stories? Ask my daughter, you know. I'm not above this. It's why it matters to me so much. So Marnie, we know that this is so beautifully aligned for you. And when this also dovetails with our sales as story, our 2-day event that goes, you know, across a couple of months. So I'm like, when I know that at the high level is what I want to do, that's what I'm doing. Then I'm talking to the person and calling to them at that deeper level, not these little widget level and this little, and let's move this around. That has energy, that has power. And again, I'm not saying marketing speak, I'm not saying what goes up on a website, I'm saying like what we know inside us that fuels us, that matters, that puts we put our stake in the ground. And then when somebody goes, well, you know, I can't meet Tuesday for the strategy session with you, we may meet Wednesday instead. And if it's or some piddly little thing that we don't care about, we'll go, Wednesday instead of Tuesday, I'm not going to bother because it's not going to be worth our time. When it's like, this matters. And I'm not saying it's somebody who's blowing us off, but somebody who really bumped into something or whatever it is, we'll go, yes, and we'll figure it out. And we'll go the extra mile and we'll love on them and we'll do whatever it takes. Thank you, Marnie. Beautiful. Well done. And thank you for being courageous enough. We said influencers have courage, and the courage comes from doing the action, right? You did it. Thank you. And even after earlier on, when I was going, no, wait, catching those editors, you still spoke. Thank you. So then what is the one place that you would like to increase your influence and why?
I'd like to increase the influence of having people look at things from a different perspective. And I'm playing with the idea of doing that through photography and writing. So that they actually physically have to stand in a different place of looking at things and travel. That I see those as ways of stepping out of our normal way of doing things. And that if you can understand the different perspective and how that illustrates what's in front of you, then you can also understand the capacity to live differently.
Fantastic. And again, I'm not saying this goes up on a website. It's like, what's the energy behind it? So when we're in that conversation with that real person, right? And then think of all practical applications coming into play here, right? These things fit together. Right? So I'm going to go network. I'm going to go speak. I'm going to do all those activities that we do in our companies. But I'm giving the example of when I'm in front of that person, I know where the energy comes from. It's going to be a different conversation than if I think I'm talking about widgets and please just stop beating your horse. You know, I mean, that's sorry, Mary Kay, even that language is offensive. I'm sorry. But you get what I'm saying. It's like, don't think like that, like this instead. I know that you guys will, awful example, sorry, Mary Kay. And I know you'll hear it then. Like, this is the thing that matters, right? There was one more piece I wanted to say about that. Oh, Marnie, will you just tell us just before we go, because we're going to wrap up this block and then come back to, well, then, you know, how do I do this, right? And if you choose, a great thing to do would be go post in the Facebook page your answers to these three questions. Actually, I'm gonna give that to you as homework for all of you over the break. Go post in our Love Your Words Facebook page. What's my vision? What is it that, where's the one place I want to increase my influence and why does it matter? So that should only take you a couple minutes, but it's a fabulous, fabulous thing to do, right? And Marnie, I just want to ask one more thing before we wrap up this block. And that's, you said using photo and writing and travel and looking at things from a different perspective. Will you just give people the one sentence version of, maybe you've done that yourself before in one example, one sentence, not more than two sentences, just like the travel part, for instance? Because it isn't like being pulled out of the air.
I think that when we travel with purpose to meet the world at its own place, we meet ourselves.
Beautiful. That could go up right up on a website, you know? But I'm not trying to even do that, but it could. And Marie, who works with words, she's going like, right? So, and Marnie, can you give us an example of like, for instance, of where you've traveled to? Like I say, it's not coming out of nowhere.
Well, I've traveled to 6 of the 7 continents. So quite a few different places. And I tend to travel now, what I call purposeful travel. So trying to meet the locals and work with them, maybe do some work while I'm traveling. And that it's more about understanding where they stand versus where I stand.
Do you see how rooted this is? Do you see how real this is? Do you see how this is entirely in what we're talking about in like influence as story and crafting that story that has the power of your impact on the world, what you're meant to do, how you're meant to serve? Will you give us one example of a country you've been to that people would be surprised at where women don't, you know, you've traveled alone, right?
Yeah, probably Madagascar would be one that would stand out for me. It's unique and it's very poor and it's biodiverse, and you kind of really meet all of your expectations and all of your fears hit each other in intersectionality.
I love it. Thank you. And did you hear how, you know, what's your vision? You know, where do one, where's one place you want to increase your influence and why does it matter? Marnie, for instance, went to, Yvonne went to a place that is outside of the activity of the company, but presents a huge why for it. So people answered this beautifully and differently. Marnie went to a place of, I want to, you know, where do I want to increase influence? But it went to an inner world piece about looking at things from a different perspective. And we're going to talk actually pieces about that in after the break too, like, because influencers do that. I have a dream, seeing the world in a different way. So we're going to get some tactical pieces around that, all right? Give you some examples. So went to an inner world piece. Marie went to a tactical outer world piece. It's like social media, because I'm jazzed about this vision that she so beautifully articulated, right? So people answered this at different levels, all in beautiful ways. Please go and post on the Facebook page. We are going to come back here at 2:30 Mountain Time. So in about 55 minutes. Do three things over this break. Do not go check your email. Please give yourself the gift of staying in this energy, whatever that takes, all right? No, trust that the world will revolve without you for that hour or 55 minutes, right? Number one, post on the Facebook page so you make it real and you name it and stand by it. Whatever and whatever articulation you can come to today, good enough. Taking action. Remember, learn, do, learn, do. Learning, now I'm asking you to do by posting, then we're going to do out there in the world, right? So one, go post it. Number two, write down any questions. If you can think of a couple questions that you have, because our last block, there's going to be time for asking questions. So what are your questions about this? And number three, whatever you need to take care of yourself. Do you need to lie in Shavasana? Do you need to eat some food? Do you need to go? Do you want to go for a walk? Can you follow your own heart's desire and how you want to take care of yourself so you come back refreshed, alive, awake? Because this has been already an extraordinary day. You guys are playing at an extraordinary level. Thank you. And we are not yet done. We're going to bring it home in the last block. And we've got some really important pieces to get to in that very last block, including let me just remind you before we go of where we're going. There's a piece that we're going to pick up that was I thought was going to be in this block. But don't worry, there's room for it in the next block. How you create influence. Don't we want to know that, right? How you create influence, recognizing, understanding it as a learnable skill, becoming conscious of it in your life. Where have you already created that influence? So we transfer that excellence. We're not just trying to imitate other people out there, that it comes right from within us. Influence as story, that's going to happen as we dive into that. We're already understanding that in so many ways, but then how do we change that story? And more about finding the big why for our companies. Company values, I'm at least going to tell you about why that matters so much. Building our influence in the real world, action steps, and Q&A. So we got lots, so much waits you in the next block. Take good care of yourself so you're here fully present for that last block. I'll see you now in just over 50 minutes at 2:30 Mountain Time. Thanks everybody for playing full out. We'll see you in just over 50 minutes.